Broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All studio at The Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. This is Kyle Brusten Northman, KBN, on ESPN Wisconsin. Here's Kyle Wallace, Ben Brust, and Brad Northman.
Kyle Brust and Northman across ESPN Wisconsin. Get us on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee and at ESPN Madison. Where's Brad Northman? I don't know. We'll find out in a second.
Ladies and gentlemen, the show will begin in 1 minute.
That's Alex Stroh running the show. We're giving out some mid-season awards. The 5-2-1 Packers. Some are awards you're going to want to bring home. Some you're probably going to want not next year mantle. 800-990-3776 is the Carbless Talkin' text line, and I want you to remember that number because if this flops, I want you to let them know. And if it's good, I want you to let them know too. But if it flops, I really want you to let them know.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome our host for tonight's prestigious and completely made-up ceremony. A man who's given more effort to breaking down the Packers offense than the Packers offense has shown in the last week. A man who never misses a punt or a punchline. The great Brad Northman.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Wow. What an honor it is to be here with you all tonight. Boy, you look beautiful out there. I see some familiar faces in the crowd. Is that Ben Brust? Ben Brust, everybody. Give it a round of applause for Ben Brust. That's exactly right. I see Kyle Wallace. Boy, looking sharp as always, Kyle. I see you there. And of course, DJ Stroh in the background, the party's
DJ
all here,
Stroh.
And all of you KBN Nation to celebrate this critical juncture of the Green Bay Packers season.
You're supposed to roast us when you say our names as a host.
Oh, the roasting will come. The roasting will come via some of these awards that I'm about to give out for the Packers mid-season awards. Let's start with a couple of ones that I just feel like we need to give a nod to. We need to give the most valuable player award of the midseason. Of course, that goes to Tucker Kraft. And a moment of silence, please, for Tucker Kraft. He is certainly in a better place.
What happened?
Thank you very much. Tucker Kraft is indeed in a better place. And the on the injury table, probably we're getting that ACL recovered. But he did get this season. One more time, Romeo.
In a better place.
He is certainly in a better place. But Tucker Kraft, you did earn yourself offensive MVP for the mid-season awards. Now, finally, before we have a little bit more fun, most disappointing award. That's the run game. The whole cast of characters in the run game, disappointing so far. We're looking at you.
You're bringing up the whole offensive line to the stage?
Yeah, that's right. You all need to accept it. You need to share it and pass that trophy that you're going to go home with. Now, let's have a little fun with these postseason awards, shall we?
Postseason.
Mid-season. Mid-season. I'm already getting ahead of myself. For the UI award, Brandon McManus. Brandon McManus, stand up. Come and accept your award. Are you UI, Brandon McManus?
I don't know if I can handle Brad saying UI
There's something going on, Brandon, that we're not entirely sure. Are you injured? Are you not? Do we need a thesaurus walking around with us? What is going on to have you miss what seemingly is chip shot field goals for you? Brandon McManus, please come up to the stage and accept the UI award.
Kicker on kicker. Crime here.
No, I only give out the awards, Kyle. I am only the presenter, if you will. Next up is the Is He Still on the Team award? And that, of course, goes to Dontayvion Wicks. Where has Dontayvion Wicks been? He has been, he's played in every game so far. Can you believe that? He's never been inactive.
Wait, he's been inactive the last 2 weeks.
Definitely not true. Yeah.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
He was hurt. Okay.
He's got a calf
injury. Shane Gillis?
Even before then, he was averaging like 1.5 receptions per game.
Oh,
he's
wow.
Struggling. He is the guy that we thought would be a stud. The next, maybe Davante Adams, as Jason Wilde called it.
Those were murmured.
Shades of Davante Adams. Though, is he still on the team award? Goes to Dontayvion Wicks. Okay, next up. The Rube Goldberg Award. Remember the Rube Goldberg Project?
Who the hell is Rube Goldberg?
We don't know who Rube Goldberg?
Rube.
Isn't that
the complicated machine?
Yeah, the Rube Goldberg is when you have these elaborate projects that have multiple steps, and it's complicated, and a ball knocks over this, and a waterfall into that.
We remember he took us back to the 1800s.
Yeah, the
early
1900s. The Rube Goldberg Overcomplication Award goes to Matt LaFleur. The Rube Goldberg Award winner. Matt LaFleur is just constantly overthinking, overanalyzing, overproducing, overscheming. Too many steps. You got to have this person go here for that person to go there, all to run the ball 4 yards. Let's simplify it, Matt LaFleur. The Rube Goldberg Award goes to Matt LaFleur. Now we've got some honorary awards here in the final phase of the midseason awards.
This is it?
We got 4 honorary awards that are giving out, all with a namesake that is near and dear to our heart. We got the Brad Nortman Oatmeal Award.
Oh!
Basic, bland,
given out
and boring.
To basic, bland, just kind of doing it, but no surprises, no excitement.
I love Lexi.
That goes to Luke Musgrave. Musgrave, just kind of his whole career in this first half, vanilla, not really doing anything special, filling the role.
He's been non-existent.
I love Lexi.
Non-existent. He's filling.
Oatmeal's delicious.
Oatmeal, it's just calories. You know, it's just calories for the engine. That's what Luke Musgrave has been. Kind of bland, kind of vanilla. He wins the Oatmeal Award. Perfectly now, the Kyle Wallace Flip-Flop Award.
Maybe I'm the problem.
The Kyle Wallace Flip-Flop Award goes to the person that you profess your love to. That is Jordan Love. Flip-Flop Award goes to Jordan Love. Sometimes he's hot. Sometimes he's cold. Just when you think he's figured it out, he goes to the other side. And just when you think that he couldn't get any worse, he makes a magnificent throw. Flip-flopping just like our friend Kyle Wallace.
He will be in
Wallace.
That Hall of Fame talk. Just wait on it. Man, great company.
The Ben Brust Bad Beat Award. It's a combo award given to Brian Gutekunst and Elton Jenkins. He said in the offseason, Elton Jenkins is going to be an all-pro center. All-pro center. What a call. What a way to stamp your move of moving Elton Jenkins to the center position. Goody and Elton Jenkins saying he's going to be all-pro. That's like our old friend Bet saying this bet can't fail in Ben Brust best bet. But in fact, that bet is failing.
Man, I feel bad for Elton. Got to move back to guard next year on a different team.
He's going to have to. And finally, the Alex Stroh Needs to Bulk Up Award goes to Jordan Morgan. Jordan Morgan is in there getting tossed around, thrown around. He needs to be like Alex Stroh doing push-ups, needing to bulk up, needing to hold his own in the middle there, because there's been too many times I've seen Jordan Morgan in there taken, tossed, thrown, pressure on Jordan Love. The Alex Stroh Needs to Bulk Up Award goes to Jordan Morgan.
Well, that's embarrassing.
Yes, it is. It's not an award you would like to walk away with.
That's our first-round pick, man.
I'm just giving out the awards.
Cooper DeJean would have been nice, huh?
Cooper DeJean would have worn a. He would have gotten a nice award.
We wouldn't be an ankle roll away from Bo Melton.
Yeah, yeah.
So to recap.
Thank you, Stroh. Is that for me?
So to recap, your evening award winners, midseason MVP, Tucker Kraft. One more moment of silence, please, for Tucker Kraft. Thank you very much. The disappointing award goes to the run game. The UI award goes to Brandon McManus. Is he still on the team award? Dontayvion Wicks. Rube Goldberg Award for overcomplication. Matt LaFleur. The Brad Nortman Oatmeal Award goes to Luke Musgrave.
I love Lexi.
The Kyle Wallace Flip-Flop Award goes to Jordan Love.
Maybe I'm the problem.
The Ben Brust Bad Beat Award goes to Brian Gutekunst and Elton Jenkins. And finally, the Alex Stroh Needs to Bulk Up Award goes to Jordan Morgan. Would everyone who won awards please stand up? One more big round of applause for them this evening.
800-990-3776. Who should host the defensive awards tomorrow?
You got big shoes to fill.
Right now on the Carpus Talking big text shoes. Line, Brad's getting the business.
Oh, it's probably just some Packer fans that don't want to hear the truth.
Who should host the defensive awards tomorrow? Brad again? Kyle or Ben? I want to know who should host the defensive awards because we've only gone offensive here.
All offense. And a special teams throw in there, a kicker, if you will, with the kicker.
How did you think you did?
I thought that was an A+.
Oh, okay.
I thought that was wonderful.
How did you think you did?
Incredibly produced and accurate and entertaining.
If I was the person organizing the event, I would probably thank you for your services and look for somebody else to do it next year.
Thank you. That sounds like someone who wants to try his hand out tomorrow.
Yeah, sounds like a volunteer.
Yeah.
I'm just saying I would.
You got to do it now.
Because I'll say this. I had some defensive players on my list.
You don't
awards,
get to go again.
But it sounds like you get to enjoy the defensive side of the ball
tomorrow. I'm just saying it was an attempt, right? Like, you know, you tried. And, you know, everything can't be great. And, you know, maybe your punting was your thing.
Wow.
Ben, am I lying?
Could only imagine what the MC event was like now. I wish I was there.
Hello. Welcome.
Hello. You all look great. Thank you.
Yeah, you all look great out there. Great dresses and suits.
I went to Brookville Central. I'm Brad Nortman.
Josh and Kenosha, you're on the Carbless Talking text line. Who's hosting tomorrow?
Well, I have another award. It's called the Jesse Nelson Did Not Do Your Job Well on Your Birthday Award, and that also goes to Jordan Love.
Strope on the hotkeys back there is on fire.
How much fun do you have pressing all those buttons?
Well, at one point, the word overproduced was used during that segment, and I thought he was going to start talking about me.
No, I think you did your job. Okay, now
we
should open up the door. How about we give away a hoodie? Huh?
Hoodie?
Yeah.
You guys know me, right? I'm all about performance and comfort. You know, mm-hmm. I don't step out of my comfort zone. That's exactly why Iron Jock is the perfect fit for me. It's the only gear that I wear, and it's been a great addition to my life because I've been wearing these oversized old things that I've had from 10 years ago. And now when I play basketball, I have the best stuff underneath my my jersey that locks in the sweat. It kills the bacteria. 99% of odor-causing bacteria is gone with their silver iron technology. It doesn't wash out and it doesn't wear out. So now Iron Jock is introducing the four new lightweight hoodies. Woo! Y'all got some hoodies.
I sure did. I put it on. It's phenomenal.
Awesome. I wore one yesterday.
I wore one on Friday, and I was outside, and I was comfy. And it was
loose on
amazing.
The neck.
Oh, it's so comfortable.
So how about we give somebody a hoodie, huh? Let's go with caller number 7 to win an Iron Jock hoodie. Man. 800-990-3776. That's 800-990-3776. That's caller 7 to win an Iron Jock hoodie. And if you don't win, go to ironjock.com to get your hoodie today. That is ironjock.com. It is fantastic stuff, material that is just like, it feels so smooth on your skin, on your body. So I feel like I can sleep in them, to be honest. 800-990-3776. All right. Well, they're full. Good luck next time. Which will be soon, by the way. Give away a lot of hoodies. Kyle Bruston-Nortman continues next. Hear Brett out. Oh, back to
this
back, Brad.
This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman, KBN.
Well, the dance floor specifically. I'm still sore, man. I dance my booty off.
But you don't have muscles.
You don't have a booty. So I don't know how you dance that. You asked your back off. Your back.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
Time now for the moment you've all been waiting for, and it's not another award show. It's Kyle Bruston-Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin.
Don't make promises.
Is Hear Brett Out about how to make the award shows better?
Hear Brett Out could be anything.
800-990-3776. A lot of people are wanting Brad back, so Kyle, you may be off the hook for tomorrow's defensive award shows.
So they like average. Okay.
Brad did say memorable, not good.
That's actually
Brad did great from Jamie/Jaime.
Thanks, Jaime. Okay. Jamie.
Christopher's voting for Brad. DB1, of course. Kyle.
Love it.
DB1.
Yep. Long time ago. Almost 20 years since I was a DB1.
In Pop Warner, DB1, Kyle Wallace.
Okay.
Let's get to Hear Brad Out.
They say punters are people, too.
Punters are worthy of breaking news.
No, really, that's what they say.
Raising awareness everywhere that punters are people, too.
Okay, let's go to it. Time to hear from the punter. Time to hear Brad out.
All right.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Man, I nailed it so good that it's going to be hard to top what I did last week.
That's true. That was basically in unison. All right, guys. There's an issue with college sports. We all know what it is. It's probably keeping the Wisconsin Badgers from firing Luke Fickell. It's the coach's buyout. Eye-popping numbers for these coaches' buyouts. I came up with a legitimate fix, I think we can all agree on, to make it make sense for the coach and for the university for the coach's buyout. Here's what it is.
All right, this has to do with money, so usually this goes a good way.
Yeah.
Don't lose us.
No, I won't. Performance-based coaches' buyout is what this idea is. Now, there's clauses, like every contract has clauses. There are clauses to how this buyout was goes, and it's purely based on performance because, let's be honest, these coaches, they go do a tough job and all that kind of stuff. They deserve some sort of buyout, but not the $25 million that Luke Fickell's promised for doing nothing or $54 million for Brian Kelly. So I'm proposing several clauses to these coaches' contracts that will create a performance-based way to incentivize and earn your buyout. So let me describe what these clauses are. First of all, it's the game win buyout, of course. You get $1 million for every, if you're power, I'm only talking about Power Four here, right? Only Power Four. For every conference win or additional Power Four team you beat, so like if Wisconsin went and played whoever, Vanderbilt, another Power Four team, you get $1 million for every Power Four team you build. Over the course of 3 years. Fill in any Power Four team. Cal. If you beat another Power Four team, you earn $1 million. This is taken over the course of 3 years. But there's a cupcake discount. If you beat a non-conference team that's basically a cupcake, it's not Power Four, you only get $250K. So you get $1 million for Power Four.
Jump.
You get $250K for the cupcakes. There's an embarrassment clause. If you lose by 30 or more, you lose $50,000.
Ooh.
Or sorry, $500,000.
Oh, wow.
$500,000 for an embarrassment clause.
50 was a lot to me.
Yeah, you don't want to get embarrassed.
So wait a
now.
Minute. Beating a cupcake is worse than losing by 30?
If you lose by 30 to Ohio State and Iowa, you're down $1 million. If you beat
Miami
of Ohio, you only win $250.
Two cupcakes equals, it evens out one embarrassment.
Luke Fickell's getting all money.
That's right. There is a upset clause. If you beat a top 10 team, you get 3X on that million. You get $3 million for a top 10 upset. You have a rivalry multiplier. Wisconsin, every coach has their one main rivalry. When you beat them, it's 2X. So, for instance, if and when Wisconsin were to beat Minnesota, they get $2 million.
What do you mean win?
So, to win is the important part. Cupcake discount. Embarrassment clause, upset clause, and rivalry multiplier. I went and calculated how much that was going to be for Luke Fickell. $8.25 million.
That he owes?
Good pop.
No, I'm saying
it feels like that, doesn't it?
How?
Four 30-point or more losses. So we've subtracted $2 million from what would have been 10 and a quarter.
How did he get to 10 and a quarter this year?
Well, no, over the course of three years.
Oh.
A trailing 3 years is what I'm going forth with. And here's the reason why it works. First of all, the coaches get something. The schools aren't bankrupted. And if you want more money, you do better.
We've only lost about 34 times?
Yeah.
Huh. Feels like more.
I went back and did Brian Kelly's over the last 3 years because he also got fired.
Fun.
A lot of money.
Brian Kelly. I'm not going to go into the details. He never got a 30-point loss, might I add. 20,750,000.
So still a good buyout.
So because he got 10 wins, 9 wins, and so far 5 this year, and he had a couple multipliers for beating top 10 teams. So that's a good buyout that you earned, but he's not getting $54 million for whatever. But Luke Fickell, in describing basically a tenure that's been really bad.
You get your salary that you signed on for the per year.
Yes.
No matter what. You're the coach. You're doing the job. But on the buyout, it's based on your performance of how you did as the head coach.
Yep, over the last 3 years. Because if you were the head coach for 20 years, you can't take 20 years worth of it. It's just over the prior 3 years, which I feel like is a very fair tenure to really grade how the program is doing and to earn it. So you're not left empty-handed, but you are based on incentive.
So what if somebody is in the negative?
then wherever they go next, they earn money. I guess the only way you'd be...
One season. So like, if a coach comes for 1 year, like Deshaun Foster.
Deshaun Foster is a great example.
These are power four.
Deshaun Foster was only at UCLA for 2 seasons.
Well, I think the qualifier is 3 seasons is based off the buyout.
The only way you can be a... It is over the last 3 seasons. The only way... I mean, I have to go look at him, but you're saying that he lost by 30... by more wins than he had?
I mean, he only coached, like, what, how many games?
Maybe 10 games, 12 games. He did a whole season, so 12 seasons. 12 games, plus an additional, like, two or three this year.
Two or three?
You don't have to owe money. You just get fired. That would be a little sick to have to pay back the company.
Yeah.
Or pay back the school.
Oh, well, no. He was 5-7 last year.
Yeah. So you get
and
a little something.
And he was 0-3 this year.
So I think this is a super reasonable, actual way that I think should be implemented in college football because the schools aren't bankrupted. And honestly, too, I think the whole thing with Luke Fickell is they're sort of waiting around. Maybe he does a little bit better. Well, if he starts winning some ball games, it just means more money that they're going to have to pay him as he stacks up wins. So it creates a little bit of an incentive, too. If you're going to fire him, just go ahead and fire him because he might earn a little bit more on the back end.
It's interesting. I mean, I don't
see
what
the performance base. This is a little complicated.
I love the performance base. The problem is I'm a coach. Why would I sign up for that when I know I can get $25 million for a buyout?
Well, the schools need to basically come together and say we're not doing that anymore.
Collusion?
Yeah.
Is that fair? Is that legal?
Is it fair for Brian Kelly and Luke? Is it fair for Luke Fickell to get $25 million for getting fired?
That's what the Green Bay – excuse me, that's what Wisconsin Badgers foolishly signed on for.
But is it fair?
That's what
the
contract
says. Set your program
back. It does. I mean, I like the idea, but like, if a coach says I'm not going there, if you do that nonsense,
where else is he gonna go?
Well, everybody has to come together. If Brian Kelly, who's
something
a good
just
coach,
came across my desk. I heard you didn't take the Wisconsin job. We're really interested in doing performance based contracts. What you want to come here?
You're gonna tell Brian Kelly that when he went to LSU and he left Notre Dame? You're going to tell Marcus Freeman that if they're trying to lure him to go to Penn State?
You can only do it if everyone else does it. I'm talking about a seismic shift in
college
football.
If they're getting lured somewhere, then they have to pay the buyout. That's usually what happens.
That's true. That's
they have
true.
The money to afford the person that they're getting.
Yeah. I like the idea, but yeah, it's not feasible.
You got to work out a couple of the
kinks.
Yeah.
It was better than your award show.
I liked the embarrassment clause.
Yeah.
Well, so did I deliver on my promise? 30 minutes of the most memorable radio of your lifetime.
You know what, Bradley? For you talking for 30 minutes and Ben and I.
Been quite a 30 minutes.
Yeah, I bet your voice is. Make sure you get your little machine to moisturize that throat.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad.
Wasn't bad.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't.
But you know what's never bad and should actually host a game show with us?
Ooh, now she would do great.
Gina Della from Pella.
If she was on radio for 30 minutes, it would certainly be the most memorable radio of your life. Or if you're going to do that window and door project, it's going to be the most memorable project of your life. That's because Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin is that go-to solution for those drafty windows, those old doors, and that cold air is coming through. So wait no longer to do the renovation, increase your home value, decrease your energy costs, and take advantage of this deal right now. And in KBN Nation, you know, you've been listening long enough. This deal does not come around often. 0% interest for 72 months. 6 years of 0% interest, all able to enjoy those windows and doors that only Pella can provide, that is custom made, and it is custom to your home in any style, any craftsmanship, any color. Only Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin can deliver on that with 0% interest for 72 months. Get inspired and enjoy Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin at their Experience Center in Brookfield. Visit them at PellaWI.com and schedule your free consultation today to take advantage of that deal.
He's bold, he's bald, he's beautiful, he's Rob Domofsky. He joins us next.
You're listening to Kyle Bruston Nortman, KBN.
I'm a tool. I'm a tool. My name is Ben Bruston. I'm a tool.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
There are certain organizations that can't get certain positions right. The Bears can't get a quarterback.
Bold, bald, beautiful.
I'm one small, bald man.
ESPN NFL Nation reporter Rob Domofsky.
To me, their window is now wide open.
On Kyle Bruston Nortman.
You heard him. Says the Green Bay Packers window is wide open. He's joining us on Kyle Brust-Norton. It's ESPN's Rob Domofsky. Rob, what's going on?
Hey, Ben. How are you today?
Doing fantastic. Let me jump right to it because obviously there's been a lot of conversation. It was really interesting listening to you with Homer the other day with Balaga about the 4th and 8 conversation and the personnel that was out there and everything that went into that. But look, Matt LaFleur has been a big topic of conversation. And ultimately, where we've gotten to is just with where they're at, right? And looking at it, it's kind of midway through the season. He said there was 10 games left. There's actually 9. If he does not win a playoff game this year, with Ed Policy in command now, do you think his job would be in jeopardy?
Boy, it's a really good question. And here's the problem. We don't know Ed Policy's leadership style. We don't know what he thinks, right? Like
he said he didn't want a lame duck coach.
Right. That's where I was going to go. This summer, the only thing we know is we know two things. We know Matt LaFleur has this year and next year on his contract, and we know that Ed Policy doesn't want lame duck coaches. So by the power of deduction tells us that this season is what he's going to use to evaluate Matt LaFleur on, right? And because he does not want to go into next season with LaFleur in the last year of his contract. So that would tell me that, yes, it's a critical year for him. Now, what the definition of, you have to win this many games or you have to get to this round of the playoffs in order to get a contract extension, that's hard to say because, what happens if your quarterback gets hurt in the first play of the playoff game or something crazy happens, there's a blown call or a Hail Mary or whatever the case may be. Like it to me, it's more how it looks. And I can take you back to, when they hired Ray Rhodes and he only had the 1 year here, they were 8-8, which obviously wasn't great, but a lot of teams don't fire coaches because they're 8-8. But Ron Wolf, who spent most of the fall scouting colleges, wasn't around a lot during the season, during the week. When the college season ended, around Thanksgiving, and there were no bowl games till, after Christmas at that time, he started to go to practice day in and day out. And he realized he did not like what he saw at practice. Like, he did not like the way Ray Rhodes was running things, felt like he didn't have control over the team. Like, those are the things that caused him to make the change. They won their last game of the season, I believe, to go 8-8 that year, if I'm not mistaken. So it's not like they finished on a sour note. I think that's more a part of everything than just we lost in this round of the playoffs or we didn't get this far.
Rob, obviously Tucker Kraft's absence leaves a huge void in this offense and this locker room. But I'm curious, what should we expect going forward with Luke Musgrave now as tight end one?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to forget, Brad, that Luke Musgrave was drafted higher than Tucker Kraft was. I mean, he was a second round pick. I think he was like 40 something overall. Kraft was somewhere in the 70s, if I'm not mistaken. I mean, this is a guy who, his rookie training camp, I'm telling you, I don't know that I saw a tight end do the things that he could do athletically probably since JerMichael Finley. And it never panned out. The guy's had a bunch of injuries, had some bad luck, had the, was it the ruptured spleen, I think it was, lacerated kidney, some things that sort of are out of your control. And it wasn't, if you remember, in 2023, it wasn't until I think that Chargers game, which was week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, week like 9, that Tucker Kraft really became a big part of the offense because Musgrave had gotten hurt. So this is a guy that they at one time thought really highly of. For whatever reason, he didn't take off. He's not a blocker now. He's not a guy who you're going to throw a swing pass to and he's going to shove guys out of the way and push guys aside like Tucker Kraft. He doesn't have that kind of power. But, man, he's got speed, and he's got size and a big catch radius.
I agree with that. But going back to Sunday, Rob, on Sunday, was it Love's performance that was the problem, or was it the play calling by Matt LaFleur that was the problem on Sunday?
You know what? I'm going to say this, Kyle. I think the biggest problem was the way the game started with Savion Williams turning it over in the red zone. Like, that just changed the whole complexion of the game, and then it allowed Carolina to just burn clock and play the way they were going to play. It's a lot easier to dictate the way you're going to play the game when it's either tied or you're ahead. Had the Packers gone up 7-0 there, which, I mean, they were moving the ball had they gone up 7-0, I know it's early, but to me it changes the tone of the entire game. I think that, combined with the issues they were having in the red zone, which was a number of things. It was play calling. It was Jordan Love not making the right reads. It was a missed field goal by Brandon McManus. It was all that added up. But I still say, Kyle, that if they score on that opening drive, Savion Williams doesn't fumble, I think the game's different.
I agree.
It's almost reminiscent of, in a different way, how it went 7-0 really quick to the Eagles' way when Keyshawn Nixon right away, just from a different scenario here after driving the ball down the pole.
Or I was going to say, what playoff game was it? Was it Mercedes Lewis fumbled in a playoff game when they were driving? Was that the 2021 San Francisco game, if I'm not mistaken?
That sounds
right. They're driving early, really moving the ball well, and they fumble. Yeah, I think it was Mercedes.
Yeah.
And they end up losing that game 13-10.
January 2022, yeah.
Rob Domofsky joining us here on Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. Now, some news that's going around is free agent cornerback Asante Samuel, who had a spinal fusion procedure, is fully cleared. Now, his list is very long here. Going to the Panthers, the Packers tomorrow, Vikings, Niners, Bears, Steelers. So a long process here. But post-trade deadline, do you believe the Packers will be active in that cornerback market trying to find somebody, as we know they're a rolled ankle away from Bo Melton?
I'd be a lot more excited about it if this was 2007 and it was Asante Samuel Sr. coming from the Patriots at the time. They're going to add somebody, right? And they're going to continue to add guys. Is there a, you know, the Super Bowl year, they picked up Howard Green, this run-stopping defensive tackle who made a huge difference on their defense. Is there a acquisition out there like that? I mean, maybe. But I think the more telling approach is going to be just how they filled their roster spots this past week. They're going to take guys that have been here on the practice squad. The Josh Wiley, the tight end that's been here with them on the practice squad, just got promoted, signed to the active roster yesterday. Aaron Mosby, same thing. Like, that's their way. That's the Brian Gutekunst way, right?
Rob, a quick question before I give you here, Brad, out. The running game still confounds me. But when, you know, Josh Jacobs in it, it doesn't have quite the same juice as Emmanuel Wilson. Is Josh Jacobs fully healthy, or do teams just basically, you know, respect the run less when Emmanuel Wilson's in?
I think it's a little bit of both. I also would point out, Brad, that Josh Jacobs averaged 5.1 yards a carry on Sunday.
It was better.
Like, if you can get that out of him and get his carries up to 20-22, I think you're in a good spot. But I think it's the blocking is an issue too. All the shuffling on the offensive line hasn't helped, and quite frankly, they're just not playing as well on the offensive line this year as they did last year.
All right, Rob, here Brad out. I'm curious what your thoughts would be on this in the NFL, because NFL is. Salaries for coaches are guaranteed too. These coaches' buyouts in college football is absolutely ridiculous, right? $25 million potentially for Luke Fickell, $54 million for Brian Kelly. I suggest doing performance-based buyouts, right? But with clauses that go up and down based on victory. So obviously, you get a win in a Power Four, you get $1 million. But there's a cupcake discount if you get it. If there's a non-conference win, it's only $250K. Okay, so it's a little bit less. There are some things that bring it down, though. There's the embarrassment clause. If you lose by 30 points or more, you get subtracted $500,000, $500K. If you upset a top 10 team, you get $3 million. And your rivalry, if you beat them, you get $2 million. Quick calculation, Matt LaFleur would get $8.25 million for that resume, what he's done so far. Brian Kelly will get $20 million. $750,000 over the last three seasons. Now, do you like my idea to add a little performance-based incentives for these coaches' buyouts? And what would it look like in the NFL idea. Even?
Yeah, I love the idea, Brad, but what coach in their right mind is ever going to agree to that? It's like it's the same reason that the NFL hasn't gone to fully guaranteed contracts, because what team is going to offer that? I mean, you know, the Deshaun Watson contract.
I was saying Cleveland Browns did.
Yeah, right. Deshaun Watson was supposed to change it, and really, has it changed much? No. I mean, like, the whole buyout thing's out of control. I would argue in college sports, too, that, you know, there should be two things added to this. One, like, firing with cause, right? Like, you don't – the problem is like losing isn't cause. Like, I don't understand that. Like, if you fire somebody, you don't owe them if they're fired for cause. Well, make losing cause. Like, that should be part of the deal. And then with players, like, if you're going to do that, then to me, you have to add buyouts for NIL and paying players. Like, there's no reason you should be able to go to a school, collect, you know, what did AJ Store get from Kansas? $800,000 or whatever, and then leave after like 1 year. Million. Now, they wanted to get rid of them anyway. But my point is, you know, like Chucky Hepburn, for example, at Wisconsin, and Ben, maybe you know this better than me, but I was told the reason he went into the portal so late is he waited for his last payment from his NIL, which was like May 1st, and then went into the portal. Like, that can't. There has to be buybacks, buyouts for players too, because you shouldn't just be able to leave. I'm all for controlling the financials of this, Brad. I think your idea is great. You show me an agent who would ever let one of their clients agree to that, and I'll show you an agent who doesn't have many clients.
I should have consulted with Rob on this here, Brad.
So is that a yes or a no? Because he basically said it's a great idea, but it's not going to work.
Yeah, we get a little collusion,
yeah,
Rob.
In the sky, it's a great idea. It's a great idea, but, I mean, Kramer had a lot of great ideas too, and when he came across the hall to Jerry's apartment, and, you know, I'm going to drop a giant ball of oil out of the window, and it didn't work. I mean, it didn't mean it wasn't a good idea. But
Brad Norman and Cosmo Kramer in the same sentence. Mama, I made it.
Rob, that was great. We appreciate the time. We'll talk to you next week, okay?
All right, guys. Have a good one. Rob. We'll be seeing you.
That's Rob Domofsky, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Green Bay Packers. These results are shocking. On Twitter at KBN ESPN, would any of the other NFC North teams take LaFleur over their current head coach? I'll give you those answers and responses on the other side. It's Kyle Bruston-Nortman across ESPN Wisconsin.
This is Kyle Bruston-Nortman.
You know Italian. What do you mean?
You know Italian.
You do know Italian.
You know Italian.
Yeah, he's right.
Oui, oui. That's French. But you had gelato.
On ESPN Wisconsin and the ESPN Wisconsin app.
For your better tomorrow, head on over to the Princeton Club. They have something for everyone. Weights, cardio, all the equipment, workout classes, personal training. Cleanest health clubs in Wisconsin. They're open 24/7. A lot of them have free childcare with the membership. So make sure you stop in, get a tour. You're going to feel that infectious energy. No goal is too big or too small. You simply just got to get started, because you can have that strong body, that strong mind, and help provide a strong community. So don't wait. Start your better tomorrow at the Princeton Club. Kyle Bruston-Ortman across ESPN Wisconsin. We have a poll on Twitter at KBN ESPN. As one of our callers, Jason Wauwatosa, is very down on Matt LaFleur right now, as are many after the loss to the Panthers. So we asked this question. Do you think any of the NFC North teams would take Matt LaFleur over their current head coach? They take Matt LaFleur over Dan Campbell, Matt LaFleur over Kevin O'Connell, or Matt LaFleur over Ben Johnson? No, nobody would, is leading the way. 69%.
Blowout, it's a rout.
Nice. 31% say yes, somebody would. Evan Ross. Two first names. I don't think there's an NFC team that would take him over their current head coach.
Oh, wow.
Two first names.
Which one came
that?
First?
Yeah. Which one's first?
Is it Evan Ross or Ross Evan?
Ross Evan.
So okay. His name's Ross.
Well, I don't know if I've ever seen the last name Evan.
Evans.
Yeah, Evan. I haven't seen an Evan before.
And lots of people in their like tag name or username would put last name first.
Well, who cares?
I'm going to change mine to Bruce Benjamin.
Bruce Benjamin.
Sure, and if somebody just assumed your name was Bruce Benjamin, it'd be like, oh, that's weird, but I don't think they would say two first names.
I'm calling this guy out. He's misrepresenting his own name.
You don't know that to be true.
No, you're right, I don't.
The statement that no NFC team would take Matt LaFleur, that's just not true.
That's absolutely crazy.
Ben says as a coordinator or something, but no way would they take him over Johnson, O'Connell, or Dan Campbell.
Now, in the NFC North, I voted that nobody would take him.
Mm.
And I don't think any fan base would. Now, that's not saying that I would. I think I would probably take him over Ben Johnson. I don't think I would do Dan Campbell or Kevin O'Connell, though. I think the Bears fans love Ben Johnson and like what they've done so far. I'm not sure they totally respect Matt LaFleur either. But it doesn't surprise me that no fan base would take him and that the results came out as they do.
Yeah, no, not surprised to me as well. Love the one you're with. That's exactly what a lot of teams feel. And I think when you look at it, yeah, everybody's going to say, well, the Packers have underperformed. They haven't been able to win championships. And when you look in the NFC North right now, last season, the Vikings and the Lions both finished better than the Green Bay Packers. And this season, everybody has 5 wins except for the Vikings.
And the Vikings, 4-4.
And the Vikings beat the Bears, and they beat the Lions. So they're undefeated in the division.
Ryan and MKE on the Carbliss Talk and Text Line. I'm usually not down on MLF, Matt LaFleur. But the way they have lost games this year and the situational decisions have been bad. Also, the offense seems stale at times. He's got to figure it out soon. Soon. Yeah, well, that's right. Because you're nine games through the season and you just lost Tucker Kraft for the year. And you play the Eagles, the Broncos, the Lions, the Ravens, and a lot of divisional games on this back end. So we're going to see what Matty Mouse is made of these last 9 games.
Yeah, I feel good about the Packers bouncing back. I mean, obviously the opponent with the Eagles are going to be tough, but the Green Bay Packers have risen to the occasion this year when they had to play opponents that were good football teams or considered good football teams. I know the Steelers, we feel like, or some of us, myself, feel like maybe they're not as good as their record would show, but hell, they just beat the Colts last week and they were able to bounce back and get a big victory. So the Packers have been up to the task against the quote-unquote good opponents they played this year.
Yeah, well, those good opponents are going to be coming more and more down the pike because I felt like since the schedule came out, their first half is a lot easier than their second half.
Well, they're 5-2-1.
And that's okay. And they're going to have to earn the final, 6 wins.
How many wins were you expecting them to have in the first 8 games?
I thought they would at least have 6. I thought they would at least be 6.
Well, I think it's, especially after starting 2-0.
So, yeah. If anything, I thought that's where they would stumble. I thought they'd have maybe one loss up till this point.
Far from the undefeated team, some thought he was going to be.
I had read the stale line. The offense has seemed stale at times. What one word would you use to describe Matt LaFleur's offense currently? 800-990-3776. That's going to be in 2 minutes here on Kyle Bruston-Ortman on 94.5 ESPN and on YouTube at ESPN Milwaukee. We do have Jim, Matt, and Molly up next in Madison, the Dam Sports Show in Beaver Dam. 1430 ESPN Beaver Dam. But what one word would you use to describe Matt LaFleur's offense? That's next in 2 minutes.